Hi, I'm Alexandria Barker, creator of the Wishful Thinking Manifestation and this transformational interview series. And I'd like to thank you all for being on the call today. And as I've said in previous calls, the Wishful Thinking program is designed to help you design your best life through an understanding of the law of attraction and your energetic body, your chakra system. So just to launch my new program, I have invited 7 powerful, empowered women to speak on each of the life areas, just to share their secrets and tips and techniques of how you can live a better life and just be more satisfied and fulfilled and just really learn to love your life through law of attraction. And so I'm just so thrilled today to introduce Jeanette Ma, who has been just a guiding light for me and a real shining example of what my life could be like. I've been following her work for years, and Jeanette is a contributor of one of Jack Canfield's books, Life Lessons of Mastering the Law of Attraction, and she's also author of several ebooks of her own. One I particularly love was Pray Rain Journal and The Art of Self-Love. I love that one too. And she's going to share with us a little bit about, she's also co-creator of the Good Vibe University, which is designed to help you achieve your goals and dreams, just a place for, you know, law of attraction people to gather together just to share their knowledge and wisdom with each other. And Jeanette is going to speak with us a little bit about self-expression today. And I just couldn't think of a better person because she's just so accomplished in this, you know, area of her life. So I'm just absolutely bubbling over with delight to introduce. I'm just such a big fan of her work. Welcome, Jeanette, to the call. And thank you for being here.
You are so sweet, Alexandria. Thank you for all the compliments.
Oh, you're very welcome. You've just been such an inspiration to me over the past several years now since I stumbled across your site, and I'm just so happy that I did that day years ago.
Well, I got to tell you, self-expression isn't something that I normally consider that I do very well. I'm usually telling people in the very beginning when they meet me that I'm the most unprofessional person they'll ever run across. I'm not polished. I'm not slick, but I am authentic. I am casual. So to be invited specifically to talk on the topic of self-expression is just an enormous compliment. So thank you again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, as I've said, I have been following your work for several years now, have all your books, and just based on that, I would say that you definitely do excel in this, you know, this arena, and I've listened to your calls before, so, I mean, I've come to know you as someone who does act on their inner desires, and you bring them to fruition and, you know, make them a gift to the world, and so, yeah, I would just love for you to just share a little bit maybe about your journey, what brought you to this place where you could feel so and be so expansive and really shine your light.
That's interesting. In fact, I just got goosebumps thinking where it came from was not living this, you know, being in a place where I wasn't experiencing much self-expression in my life at all because I was doing exactly what I was expected to do by everyone else, what I was supposed to do, which was go to school, get good grades, graduate college, get a good job, get married, have kids, grow your career. I was doing having a very traditional living out of others' expectations, and there wasn't much me in that. And that was a lot of contrast, so much so that it was, not only was I pretty depressed, but my body was telling me, too, that we were way off track. I didn't understand back then about the mind-body connection. I didn't understand what she was trying to tell me. I just kept going to doctors to try to fix the problems, and they couldn't find the problems until I finally went to an alternative health practitioner who used kinesiology to say, well, it's obvious. You've got to quit your job and break up with your boyfriend.
Wow.
I know, at the time.
Just restructure your entire life.
You've only done everything wrong, so start over. And at the time, I wasn't really open to hearing that, but it did. Just in trying to find answers, in searching for answers for my physical health, and starting to realize the mind-body connection and understanding that I wasn't living my life, I was living everyone else's idea of my life. And it was from that place of like the complete opposite of authentic self-expression that that led me to where I am now. So I can thank my past for being as unpleasant as it was, because I think that's what's contributed to enjoying life as much as I do right now.
Oh, what a wonderful point to make, Jeanette. And I know that a lot of our listeners are really resonating with this message as well. It's just like, you know, just sort of chasing their tail, trying to find happiness, you know, trying to find this elusive happiness. And it really does take just kind of getting beneath what all these messages everyone else has sort of, you know, instilled in us to find our own quiet inner voice. And, you know, and it is, you know, I believe every experience does lead to that. So I think we should all kind of have a look at even the hardships that led us to new understandings, mm-hmm. and be grateful for those experiences. Mm-hmm. Hard as it is to kind of wrap your head around that sometimes, but everything has led us to this point.
Yeah, and in that place, I think it's much easier to feel appreciation for where life has taken us. And in that place, we also get more empowered about creating the life that we want for ourselves. But I think that was one of the biggest obstacles for me for experiencing authentic self-expression was worrying about what other people thought and being a people pleaser, you know, trying to satisfy what everyone expected from me. And I got pretty seriously off track. I'm not saying that's always the case. Maybe for some people, what everyone else wants for you is exactly what you want for yourself. But in my case, they turned out to be quite a bit different. So being able to care less about what other people thought and care more about what I wanted, and to be less interested in pleasing others and more interested in pleasing myself, was a big key to being able to find my way to really enjoyable self-expression.
Well, how would you say that you turned that around? I mean, that would be really hard to go against years of practice. Like, what tools did you use to help you do that?
Recognizing that it didn't work.
Oh.
Like, after years of trying to make everyone else happy and still not succeeding at that, they weren't happy, I wasn't happy, that was really kind of like, well, we know what doesn't work. no use doing this routine anymore. But also that inspiration from my body that was just saying, hey, we're not up for this. I mean, it was pretty bad. I won't elaborate, but she really wasn't interested in doing what I had planned for us. So I really didn't have any option. And I like to coach people these days that you don't have to let it get that bad before you choose what you want. And I think what makes that easier is understanding how the whole system works. I know I heard this first from Wayne Dyer at a Louise Hay You Can Do It conference. I think that's what it was called. Anyway, he was a keynote speaker there, and it was the first time that I heard him say, nothing is more important than that I feel good. I didn't realize at the time that that came from Abraham, from the material of Abraham Hicks. So I heard it first from Wayne Dyer, but that was a foreign concept to me. I have to say, nothing is more important than that I feel good. That just didn't make much sense. But once you understand how this whole system works, that everything is responding to the energy that we flow, and that what unfolds in our lives, the events that are coming tomorrow are all in response to what we're flowing energetically today, and that they're going to match each other, like attracts like. So if I'm having bad feelings, if I'm having uncomfortable thoughts, then I'm creating situations, life events that match that. So of course it makes sense that nothing is more important than that I feel good, because that's the only way good things can happen in my life.
Exactly. I was going to say it sounds selfish, but I think the word selfish has gotten a bad rap, and I think we all need to be a little more selfish when it comes to, you know, our feelings and thoughts. Especially.
Well, that's where I went so wrong, was not even tuning in to ask myself, what do you want, Jeanette? My entire life was built around what do they want, and what does she want, and what does he want? So that after having lived a life of complete selflessness, I can say for certain that doesn't work. It doesn't work for anyone.
Yeah.
Doesn't work for you, doesn't work for anyone in your life. They might think that, that this is what is going to work best for everyone, but it doesn't turn out to be true. And the challenge for me was learning how to hear that. You know, when I hadn't spent much time asking myself what I wanted, that when we don't listen for that very well, I think it's really easy for that to be hard to hear. You know, for I actually work with a variety of people who show up for work that say they don't know what they want. And that makes me kind of sad because I feel like we all know what we want somewhere deep inside of us, but if we haven't been listening for it, then it's easy not to hear. And I think sometimes our first work is just reconnecting with that inner guidance, that inner voice that that knows what we want very loud and clear, and to be willing to hear it and then have the courage to honor it, because sometimes it does take courage to do it, even after you've gotten good at hearing it. But well, I totally agree with you, Alexandria, on selfish getting a bad rap, and that the connotation of that word isn't usually used in a positive way. But when we make how we feel a highest priority, that's good not just for us, but for everyone that we touch, everyone in our lives.
Well, I usually ask this question closer to the end, Jeanette, but since we sort of touched on how, you know, listening to that inner voice, I wonder if you could share if you have any particular techniques that help you kind of continually be able to listen for and hear that little voice so that you can respond and let it, you know, express yourself with the fullest part of your being, you know, with your whole being.
I'd like to hear from you on this one, too, but what I've noticed is that the more I listen for it, the better I hear it. So it's gotten pretty natural for me these days. But in the very beginning, being willing to get comfortable with how my body speaks to me, to hear what her signals are when she's saying yes and no. Sometimes coaches refer to this sort of work as the body compass, where an easy way to start creating that relationship with knowing this with your body is to imagine a time when, things were absolutely awful, you know, one of your lowest of lows, and you get back to that memory and really remember it. And this isn't necessarily fun, but you do get important information from this. As you're remembering that awful memory, pay attention to how your body feels. Like, you might notice that your shoulders slump or your chest feels heavy, or some people feel it as just like this overall grayness taking over. Pay attention to how it feels in your body when you're remembering something awful, and then do the opposite. Remember a very happy time when you're on top of your game, feeling like you're on cloud nine, like there was no way you could lose. When you remember a really happy memory and really get in juicy with that memory, then pay attention to how your body feels in that memory, and you might notice an expansion in the chest, a lightness in your shoulders, or some people feel it in terms of colors rather than body sensations. But as you take yourself from a bad memory to a positive memory, your body will change in how it feels. And when you start to recognize how your body signals its yeses and nos, then it becomes easier for you to recognize, like when someone invites you somewhere, Your body's going to tell you. If you just felt a little drain in your chest, like a pulling down to the ground, that might be your signal for no. Or if you feel a big yes, and you feel like your energy field just got bigger, there's a way that your body will signal you these sorts of things that you might not even be aware of. So that's one way to start that connection. I'll tell you another one that worked really well for me is to do some journaling, just talking with myself. And for me, to do that in writing was really helpful rather than just doing it in my head for some reason. So,
right, me too.
Yeah, just asking myself, what do you think? You know, just like I would have a dialogue with someone else, which I was really good at, dialoguing with other people, asking them, what do they think? What do you care about? What matters to you? But I was not good about asking that of myself. So doing that in a journal was very helpful for revealing that information as well. But I'd love to hear from you what tips you have.
Regarding just getting yourself to that, you know, that powerful feeling, you mean? Or?
Yeah, or getting more connected with what you want, you know, so that you get a feel for what your self-expression is.
Oh, well, for me, it really involves being in nature, and I'm really blessed to be living, you know, I have a rural home, and we have acres of just, you know, just playground that I've transformed. It's pretty much garden from one end to the other of one form or another, because I find when I'm working, you know, with my gardens and I've got my hands in the dirt and everything, it just really, you know, it really helps keep me connected. And I even have a little mantra that I use as I'm weeding. I say that I'm weeding out my fears and doubt and making room for love to bloom. And I like things
that
rhyme.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. I love that.
Yeah, I just feel, and we actually kind of converted the back portion was just a field, and when it started growing like wildflowers and things, we carved, my husband just took the lawn tractor and made like a basically a labyrinth back there. And since it's awesome, and that was like 12 years ago, so now we've got all these trees have sprung up, so I've got like, you know, 20 foot trees all kind of lining the path, and now that's just like my wonderland. I just go walk my labyrinth, and I just do a gratitude walk, and I have deer back there. I've encountered bunnies and, you know, birds. It's just really
paradise.
Wonderful, and it is paradise, and it just makes me feel so connected, and I just can't be back there without just my heart swelling with gratitude. So that, for me, that's really very key for my, you know, my spiritual expression, my personal expression. I'm just part of my spirituality in general, just to be in nature. Like, I just, you know, make the time to sit under a tree and breathe, you know, for an extended time. Like, give yourself more than 10 minutes. Like, on the weekend, last weekend, it was a long weekend here, and I sat under the tree for, like, 3 hours, just journaling, meditating, you know, because I was starting to feel those feelings. I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed regarding, you know, business stuff, and I knew that those feelings weren't going to get me where I wanted to go, so I really needed to kind of get back to the place of happy expectation, you know, and feeling, you know, it's taking the time to do your visualizing and do your meditation and, you know, all these things that they seem so simple, but if you let them slip away, you soon notice your life isn't really going in the flow anymore, you know. So for me, I really have to start, you know, I start my gratitudes the night before as I go to sleep at night, and I do, you know, gratitude walks or even in my journal in the morning, and sort of pre-plan much as I laid out in the Wishful Thinking program. I mean, that's how it came about, was me finding a way to keep myself tuned in and then just putting it on paper and making it available, you know, to anyone else who wanted to learn.
I think what you're sharing is very important, and that's for each of us to know how we best plug back in, and it's nature for me as well. I know for some people they experience that better at the ocean than they do under the trees, but what you've described, I got to say, I like your style, girlfriend.
Thank you.
I would do very well with a setup like that. But knowing what it is that nurtures you, that rejuvenates you, that nourishes you, knowing what that is and making it a priority. I know for different people will have different things that it is, although I do hear nature very often. But whatever it is, making it a priority, making time for it, making it important, because it's really easy to push these sorts of things down the life to-do list when it seems like there are more pressing things. But Wayne was right when he was quoting Abraham, saying, "Nothing is more important than that I feel good." That's really what it all boils down to. So taking good care of ourselves, I think, is a crucial part of being able to experience true self-expression.
Oh, absolutely. And with me, like, I've been involved in fitness. I was a fitness instructor for like 25 years before becoming involved in yoga and other things. So that's sort of so built in that I don't even think about it anymore when people ask me. But definitely moving your body, you know, like giving your body what it needs in terms of, you know, nutrition and sleep and exercise, like a fun, like it could be dancing, it could be walking, it could be swimming. Like, it doesn't have to be like a really, you know, a regimen that you're locked into, that you have to go to the gym and do your treadmill or whatever, you know.
I was going to say, I know people who aren't listening to their bodies in the way that they're listening to their trainers or their doctors, and they're over-exercising when what their body needs more than anything is a break. Some people are over. I did it for a while myself, so I know this routine. But yeah, to not listen to your body, to listen to someone else tell you what's best for your body, that strikes me as pretty insane, which I did for a very long time because I was always taught that they know better. You know, they know, but the experts know what's best for us. Why?
Yeah.
Trusting myself to know what she wants to eat, when she wants to sleep, and what kind of movement she wants. It took me a long time to really trust in that. But I think that is another big key to self-expression, is tuning into yourself and hearing what your desires are and then being willing to honor them in all sorts of ways.
Oh, I think that we are so trained and so programmed to look for the answers outside of ourselves that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think that it's a huge key is just to look within and find those answers within because they're there. You know, we just have to carve out that time in our lives and make space for it. But so I'm just wondering, I'd kind of like just bring it back around to the self-expression and just, you know, if you have any tips of, you know, once they do kind of tune into that, just to really, how to really kind of start expressing that in their lives more, you know, maybe having the confidence. Like
that's what I was going to say. That's a big part of it, that self-love, that self-appreciation, that confidence to honor who they are and what's in them, I think is really crucial as well, because if we are being weighed down with what other people think or worrying what they might think, that can squash the party in a hurry. So by fostering your confidence, by building your self-love, I think that makes it much easier to experience authentic self-expression.
I agree. Any pointers on how they might do that? Because I know, you know, when you start changing, it's not always welcomed by your people around you. You know, sometimes people might want to kind of put, you know, because you're changing your vibration is what's happening. And so they're sensing, you know, that change and they want to kind of maybe bring you more into their comfort level again.
Yep.
And so, you know, how would you recommend people in the face of, if they're just getting started, maybe they're not used to expressing themselves really the way they truly feel and they encounter any kind of, you know, bumpiness along the way.
Yeah. Well, I would suggest a couple of things. In fact, I think this is so important that one of my ebooks is on this topic because I actually called it the single most important key to successful manifesting is self-love. And I've got there are so many ways you can begin practicing that, but I think one of the most important ways, I would actually have two tips. I think one is easier to implement than the other. One, when you surround yourself with people who are your champions, who are for you, I think that makes it easier than when you're continually exposed to people who are your critics, right? So you can set yourself up for easy success here just by spending more time with people who support you and love you than people you know are more inclined to challenge or denigrate, right? So that's one thing to
do.
But boy, I got to say, when you start paying attention to your self-talk, when you start listening to how you talk to yourself, and what I ask people to do is to start talking to yourself more the way you would talk to someone that you loved. Just in that one single habit, you'll have a dramatic difference in your appreciation for yourself, your ability to love yourself. Because what I find is that a lot of people say things to themselves that they wouldn't even say to someone that they didn't like, let alone a total stranger or someone that they love. We're pretty hard on ourselves. And a lot of people don't even recognize it. They don't even hear the things they're saying to themselves over and over and over again. In fact, when I started practicing this, I found myself, I heard some things that I wouldn't say to, like, my daughter or my best friend, and that was my template. If it's not something I would say to someone else, then I wasn't going to say it to myself. And just through practice, it got better and better. But I would even hear some things like I would do something and I would think, oh, duh. Okay, that's just even that little word right there, that's something I wouldn't say to someone that I loved unless I was totally joking and didn't mean it. But to say that to myself, that's just not an act of self-love. So cleaning up your self-talk, I think, is a great way to begin a powerful habit of self-love.
I think that's so true, and it just reminds me of it. I just remember it was a blog post that you made, I think, where you just kind of, you really turned it around by saying, you know, like, oh, well, I'm so forgetful. And then it was like, I love that about me. That's like my favorite thing about me, you know. And I just remember, I just love that. I resonated with that so strongly. And I just thought, oh, that's such a good, you know, because it just really says it all. It's like, yeah, I love all of me, even that little part. Yeah, that makes room for this. You know, I love that I can be goofy, or I love that I could.
This is a good point, Alexandria. This, our work isn't to change ourselves in order to be lovable. We already are lovable 100%, completely naturally, right here, right now. So being able to say, oh, yeah, I love that about me. In fact, I did this yesterday. I was doing a post at Good Vibe University. I was reading a couple of love cards from Robert Lee Camp. He's got a book called Love Cards. I was going to give it away. I was cleaning out my library over the weekend, and I pulled mine up again, and I read it, and it said something about being dominant and overbearing in relationships. And I posted in the thread about what it said about my card, and I said, and it's totally true. And then I said, and it said some good things too, but then I put in parentheses, I actually think those are good things. And I know, people are going to read that and they're not going to understand how you could interpret dominant and overbearing as a good thing, but I totally did. And that, it comes from a long practice of self-love to be able to hear something like that and appreciate it, you know, instead of, ooh, yeah, you are. You really ought to clean that up, girlfriend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because most people would take that as a negative. Yeah. So how do you turn that around? I'm curious now. How would you turn that? Because it does, you know,
bring up
negative connotations for me.
I love that about me. Like, the very first time I laughed so hard that I snorted, I was so embarrassed of myself. I did it in front of a date. And then, like, the second time I did it, I was like, oh, great, I snort when I laugh. And I was feeling some shame, but then I thought, no, I love that about me. And I have practiced that one a lot. In fact, so much so that I had one guy sent me an email, and it was basically saying, thank you for all the work that you do. You are, you know, you're a light and is shining in this world. You're making such a big difference for everyone. What would we do without you? And I wrote back, and I was like, well, thank you for the kind compliment. It's very sweet of you. You could probably tell that I love what I do. I'm, you know, very passionate about this, and thanks for writing. And then he wrote back, and his second email was like, yeah, well, like I said, thanks. And it was such a different tone from the first one. I thought, what, did I say something to offend him? And I was reading my email back, and I was like, no. And I read his again, and from that questioning place, I read his email differently. It was the same email, but I read it as, oh, he was being sarcastic. He was saying, oh, thank God, Jeanette is here to save the world. What would we do without her? That was how he really meant it. But I had such a strong practice of self-love, I couldn't hear it that way. I heard it as genuine. I know. It's like you've got a different filter on. When you are loving yourself, you hear things differently. And the only reason I was able to recognize his true meaning in that is because I started questioning, oh, did I say something wrong? Oh, what did I misunderstand? It was that I took off those self-love glasses for a second. I mean, not consciously, but really, it's a whole different world after you develop a habit of self-love. And when you're in that space, it's impossible not to experience positive self-expression. It's impossible not to be who you are and create what you love.
That is such a great story. I actually remember that blog post too. When that happened. Can you tell I'm a regular reader?
I appreciate that.
But I loved how even, and I'll just ask you to share this little story with me, because I remember, you know, the excitement regarding Oprah. Are you comfortable sharing that?
Oh, geez, yeah.
Story, because I remember, oh, she's got, you know, and I was so happy for you, and when you, you know, mentioned you got this, you were going to be on Oprah, and then, I mean, to be right there, well, I'll let you tell the story, and how you maybe turned that around, because that's a pretty big one, too. I'll just invite you to take it from here.
I'll tell the short version. Oprah's producers called one day and asked, well, they emailed, and then they called, and they asked if I would be interested in being on a special they were doing on the Law of Attraction. And my immediate reaction, my first thought was, no, I've got a client who would be great for that, because they wanted someone to come tell their Law of Attraction stories. And I said, no, but I've got a bunch of clients who would love this. And they said, no, we really would like it to be you. And then, of course, my ego was very flattered. So I said yes, and I was being very terrified about it, because I do not do well. I get nervous. Seriously, I broke out in hives 2 months ago when I had to speak to a group of 100 people here locally. Had to, listen to how I say that, which I love doing, but I get so nervous for it. It's such an interesting combination. But anyway, oh gosh, Oprah, oh my word, that was, I went into a little tailspin of fear around being so visible, being so out loud, and anyway, so I, at the show, it was quite an experience. And I was terrified. I was nervous. I was trying to coach myself to be in a happier place. I was up. We filmed the first day, you know, the recorded segment, and then the next day you're in front of Oprah in the audience. She had us in the front row. And that night I could hardly sleep at all. I was so nervous. And so then the next day they prepped us with our lines. The producers were with us over and over again to make sure we said what we were supposed to say and didn't get off topic. And it felt like a lot of pressure, and this wasn't helping. and so then it came time, and what they were supposed to do was they had enough material to film two shows, and apparently she does that a lot, where she'll go change clothes so it looks like it's two different shows, but she really films two all on the same day with the same audience. She just moves people around a little bit. So when they started the second show, they were supposed to lead off with me, where I had my lines. Actually, I had written them on my hand. I was so nervous I was going to flub this. And they start the show, and they go to the person who was going after me. And, oh, no, they were finishing up with Martha Beck, because Martha Beck was supposed to be doing her vision board at the end of the second show, but she didn't get to it. So they started I might be getting this all mixed up. Anyway, it was a mess. They skipped me. Bottom line, they skipped me, and I realized I manifested myself right off of Oprah with the terror of being on it. And my misalignment throughout, this is one of the things that I say, people, you got to have the courage to honor what your guidance says. And what my guidance said was no to Oprah. And whether it was out of fear or whether just knowing, look, I'm not a match for that TV world, that whole memorize your lines thing, that whole, oh, and when they film you, they make you tell your big, sad, sob story. Like, they are not done filming until you have cried, right? Oh. And anyone who knows about energy knows you don't want to tell your sad stories, especially to an audience of millions. So I was pretty uncomfortable with the whole thing, but hey, this is how they do it. You're on Oprah. You're going to do what they say. So there was a lot of not listening to myself happening, and I think anyone in their right mind would know, look, if Oprah invites you on the show, you say yes. My heart was saying no, and I didn't listen. And that was a lesson to me that, Jeanette, you're your own highest authority, not anyone else, including Oprah.
Wow. That
I got a lot of lessons from that story, Alexandria, a lot of lessons. Even the one, like, how did I rendezvous with Oprah in the first place? I had a bunch of clients whose big dream was to be on Oprah, so we spent a lot of time talking about what it was like to be on Oprah.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I'm like, did I have this in my vortex? I don't think so, especially because it's not like she was letting me talk about my work. It's not like I could say, hey, I'm a coach, this is what I do. There was no self-promotion allowed whatsoever, so...
Oh, wow. Well, I just remember, you know, when that happened, how you turned that into a lesson. It was clear it was a lesson for you because you turned it into a lesson for everyone, you know, that you were sharing this with. And I just was impressed.
Well, and I'll tell
that.
You, the beautiful part of it was since I got skipped, lots of people were asking, hey, so you never got to talk about what you do. And they had me fly down with all my Prairie Rain journals in a suitcase, right? The producers had gone through my Prairie Rain journals. Can you imagine?
Wow.
I know. But so people were like, well, what is Prairie Rain journaling? I've never even heard of it. And I would explain what it was, you know, the terms from Greg Braden. I learned it from a local energy healer and da-da-da. This is how it works. And they were really interested. They're like, wow, where could I learn more about that? Is there a book? And there wasn't a book. This was just something that I had learned that I didn't learn in writing from anyone. And on the airplane on the way home, I was thinking about how I didn't have a good answer for everyone who wanted to learn more about it. And I thought, wow, there should really be a book about this. And then it hit me, yeah, Jeanette, you should write that book.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it came from that. Oh, wow.
I put the outline of the ebook on a napkin while I was on that plane, and I wrote it when I got home. And then my next client, who happened to be an internet marketing expert, who I said, wait a minute, we should do a trade. So
yeah.
He put Prairie Rain journaling online for me. So, I mean, that, you know, from the contrast, the beautiful thing came from it. It was the beginning of my passive income. So, and being able to share that in a way that was much more feasible, because not many people can afford to hire a coach for one-on-one sessions. So to be able to pass this information along in a way that is very readily available to people who are interested, that's a gift as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, what a clear – I'm glad I asked about the Oprah story. I didn't realize this connection would come from it. But, yeah, I mean, talk about your self-expression, you know, how you just – you just really responded to the intuitive knowing and just acted on it. And I think, you know, just that inspired action is so key. You know, like I think people kind of miss that sometimes with the law of attraction. They think, oh, it's all about visualizing and meditating and doing your vision board, and then you're done. No.
Right, just to keep you in the right place.
You know, so you can follow these intuitive nudges like you did.
Yeah, and so I guess in that respect, I can't ever say it was wrong for me to say yes to Oprah. Good, just like, you know, it wasn't wrong for me to spend the first half of my life trying to please others, because I got really committed to pleasing myself after that. Oprah experienced a little exception. But from that contrast, good stuff always comes if you're willing to go along with what it leads to, you know, with what the benefits are from it, if you don't get stuck in the woe is me story of it.
Yeah, just move through that and then just be open to, or even ask whatever you believe in, you know, whatever your idea of God is or source or, you know, your own self, you know, just to tune into and just ask, you know, what, where do I go from here? You know, and the answers could be in the next book you pick up or the next, you know, random conversation you overhear. You know,
it happens fast.
Yeah. It's just to be alert to that. Oh, well, you know, I guess we're getting to be time here, and I already did ask you about your regular, what you do to stay connected. I don't know if there's anything you'd like to elaborate on there.
I think most of us, we have easy ways in to the vortex or to feeling good. Minor dog walks, nature, birds, grass, gardens, reading, learning, or spending time with animals, all of that does it for me. But each of us has a different set, you know, a different playlist, you might consider it, of things that take you to a place of feeling really good. Know what those are for you and engage in them regularly. Don't save them for someday when you have some spare time. Make them a priority in regular daily life, because it is, nothing is more important than that we feel good. So know what does that for you and then engage it.
Yeah, because these are the things that make life worth living, right?
Oh,
these happy moments that we're
agreed.
I'll be happy when I retire. Well, you might not ever get there. You know, you might. You gotta be happy.
And if
now.
All you've done your entire life was practice, you know, struggle and misery and strife, then nothing's going to change that until you change that. We're in charge of how we feel, not the circumstances around us. So we have to really, vibration management, we have to learn to be in charge of how we feel. And setting ourselves up for success with that by engaging what we enjoy makes it a lot easier to do that work.
Oh, and I think it's so much better for everyone around us, too, which slightly touches back to the selfishness thing, because, you know, our emotions, our moods are so contagious, I mean, far more than colds and flus. And so I think by taking responsibility even to lift your mood up, so because you don't want to infect somebody else with your bad mood either. You want to have a positive impact on them. So, it's taking that responsibility, knowing that you can change it, and then taking responsibility and doing it.
Well said.
Yeah. Thank you. So I know, Jeanette, that in addition to this wonderful phone call, I'm sure our listeners got so much value out of it. I know I did. And you're also going to be sharing a gift with our listeners. So I just would invite you to elaborate a little bit on that and let them know where they can, you know, to direct them back to your website.
I'll share that quickly, yes. I have it on a variety of sites, but probably the best place to go is goodvibeblog.com. That's GOODVIBE, goodvibeblog.com. I've got a free ebook called Law of Attraction for the Real World. You can sign up for that for immediate download. But the best part of that isn't, I don't think, even necessarily the ebook itself, although I do get a lot of rave reviews about it. But the there's a series of emails that will follow that tell stories about the principles that I share in the book about how they were operating in my real life. And for people who might have signed up for this a long time ago, they probably never got that, because that's been fairly recent that I added that follow-up series of emails because, you know, my big thing is law of attraction for the real world. Let's get practical about this. Let's not just talk about it theoretically, but what does it really look like? What could I really expect? How do I really work it? So the emails that follow that, sharing the stories of me practicing those tips in real life, I think are very valuable as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have to sign up again because I didn't get the follow-up messages, so I'm going to have to do that again because I know that, yeah, I love your material, and I don't want to be missing out on any of that. So I'm certainly going to be taking advantage of that, and I encourage our listeners to as well. And just to let you know that I'm also giving a gift attached with this phone interview series. I'm going to be giving an ebook copy of my book, Now and Zen, The Joy of Meditation, which teaches you all the basics, all about the hows and whys you might want to establish a meditation practice. And it also includes an MP3 recording of my Rainbow Body Meditation, which is right from my Wishful Thinking Manifestation Program. So that takes you right through all your chakras. So if you don't know what they are now, you will by the time you've listened to your meditation. And so those things are free at my blog. You just sign up and I'll send it right to you. And my blog is www.freelovingthelawofattraction.com. So I invite you all to...
What a wonderful resource. I'll be sharing that with my audience as well, Alexandria. That's very cool.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I'd just like to, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to say goodbye to our listeners, and then I'll say goodbye, and we will close the call.
Well, yes, thanks everyone for listening and for letting me be part of your world. And if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me an email. I do get a lot of emails, but I respond to them personally. So I'm at jma@goodvibecoach.com. And thanks again for listening, everyone.
And again, thank you very much, Jeanette. And thank you to all our listeners. I really appreciate you taking the time from your day. And I just hope that you get some wisdom from these calls and implement them so you can start to see these changes in your own lives. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, everyone, and goodbye for now.